The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 52, text number 12, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on December 11th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata Utpatya Tadasa Dhyamana Tatat Ubhau Dasha Eka Yojanat Tungat Nepetatu Ada Mpuvi Tata Utpatya Tadasa Dhyamana Tatad Ubhau Dashaika Yojana Tungan Nepeta Turvadho Bhuvi Tata Utpatya Tadasa Dhyamana Tatad Ubho Dashaika Yojana Tungan Napeta Turvadho Bhuvi Tata. From it, the mountain. Utpatya. Jumping. Tadasa. With haste. Hayamana. Which were burning. Tatat. Whose sides. Ubhau, the two of them, Dasha Eka, 11, Yojanat, Yojanas, Tungat, high, Nepetatu, they fell, Adha, down, Huvi, to the ground. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The two of them then suddenly jumped from the burning mountain, which was 11 yojanas high, and fell to the ground. Purport, 11 yojanas is approximately 90 miles.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Damine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanja Desatarine.
So, if we tell the average person of this material world that Krishna and Balaram jumped from a mountain which is 90 miles high, they say, oh yes, that is your Hindu mythology. Yes. That couldn't literally be true. A mountain 90 miles high. I mean, Mount Everest is not anywhere close to that high. So this is certainly some myth. It's not really true, you know. That's what people think. So what is our understanding? Is this a myth? Or is it true? It's true. How do we know it's true? Well, it's confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. How do we know that Srila Prabhupada is telling us the truth? Because his teachings work. And that's how we know Prabhupada's telling us the truth. If you apply Prabhupada's teachings in your life, it works. Plus, we know, it's very obvious by meeting Prabhupada, by seeing Prabhupada, the man's integrity. I don't like to use the word man, the great sages. Man is a demeaning term, actually, for Prabhupada. The great sage's integrity is very obvious if one meets him personally. By the depth of his vision is quite clear if you clearly study his purports. This man is not, this great sage, Sri Sri Radha Golokananda Ki Jai, this great sage is not of this world. He is speaking from a platform beyond the imperfect senses. At the present moment, our senses are imperfect. Therefore, we have a tendency to become illusioned. And because we have a tendency to become illusioned, what do we do next? We make so many mistakes, isn't it? So many mistakes we make. But in spite of that, we think, I'm a big PhD, or I'm a big brahmana, or a big sannyasi. You see, I'm a big this or that. We're very proud, you see. So we have to understand what is the actual position. You can do that later. Later you can do that. Focus on the Bhagavatam now. So Prabhupada is speaking from a plane of consciousness beyond the four defects of this material existence. Have we seen that mountain? Well, maybe we did in a previous lifetime. But do we have any experience of it now in this lifetime? No. But yet, because Prabhupada is a sage of the greatest impeccable integrity, with perfect vision of Krishna in everything. Therefore, we take it on the words of Srila Prabhupada that this is a fact, it's a historical fact. To have this faith in the spiritual master is very, very important. It is confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Tata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Kyatita Hirta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Only unto those who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. If we doubt the words of Srila Prabhupada, and so many people, fools and rascals, they do them. Even so-called Krishna conscious people nowadays, they doubt the words of Prabhupada. The most stupid people I can imagine, someone would doubt the words of Prabhupada. That means anyone who doubts the words of a great acharya, you see, they have zero realization of the Vedic wisdom. Zero. They have no realization of the Vedic wisdom. Because it's only by that unflinching faith, that implicit unflinching faith in the words of the great acharya that one can actually understand the Vedic wisdom. You don't have to be a very learned scholar, a big Sanskrit scholar. Simply if you have strong faith in the words of the spiritual master, you see, you become the greatest scholar. You may say, oh, how that could be true. This is confirmed by one pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Ranganath temple in South India. Maybe you've seen that temple, Ranganath temple. Yeah, very nice temple. So, 500 years ago, during Lord Chaitanya's time, There was one Brahmana in that temple who was illiterate. But his spiritual master ordered him, every day you must read the entire Bhagavad Gita. So what can the man, what can the Brahmana do? He's illiterate. So he sits there. Of course, they didn't have the BBT edition in those days, but you know, they had some handwritten, beautiful handwritten manuscript, you can imagine. Personally copied by hand by a Brahmana, the whole Bhagavad Gita. So he had the manuscript there. He was looking over it. Even though he couldn't read, he was dutifully looking over all the pages of this manuscript. And everyone making fun of him. Oh, just see. He was the object of the temple gossip. Just see. Just see this Brahman. He's illiterate and he's reading Bhagavad Gita. What kind of nut is he? This was the low class kind of talk going on around the temple about him, you see. Very low class thing. They criticized someone, but they were making fun of him. He doesn't know how to read, but yet he's trying to read Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya, he came. You know, he toured South India. So he came to Ranganath Temple. And he heard this temple katha about the illiterate Brahman who was reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, let me see this illiterate Brahman reading Bhagavad Gita. So he approached him in the temple room. And this Brahmana, he's used to being criticized, but he doesn't care what they say. It doesn't matter. Guru Maharaj has ordered me. I have to do this. I don't care how much they laugh at me. I don't care how much they make fun of me. I'm going to keep redoing this every day on the order of my spiritual master. I don't care what they said. You see. So he was used to being criticized, but when Lord Chaitanya approached him, just imagine you're sitting there reading Bhagavad Gita and Lord Chaitanya approaches you. Wow. Lord Chaitanya, who's so golden avatar, just effulgent, more than a million suns, is the most brilliant sannyasi, he approaches you, you see. So Lord Chaitanya, in a very sweet voice, Lord Chaitanya spoke in a very sweet voice, you see. Not harsh, very, very sweet. Brahmana, of course, we cannot imitate. Could try to give some idea. Brahmana, I have heard you're reading Bhagavad Gita, but you're illiterate. How is that, Brahmana? So the Brahman can understand, oh, this person has not come to criticize me. So he explained, he says, yes, what can I do? My spiritual master has ordered me to read every day 18 chapters of Gita, although I'm illiterate. What can I do? I have no choice. I have to serve my Guru Maharaj's order. And Lord Chaitanya said, Brahman, I see you're not only reading Bhagavad Gita, but you are crying also. How is it you're crying? He said, yes, they made one illustration here in this manuscript. Krishna, he is driving the chariot for Arjuna. And I'm seeing how kind is Krishna, that he's acting as the chariot driver for his devotee. And when I think like that, I cry. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, Brahman, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita. You see? So even if you're not a big, big Sanskrit scholar, even if you're illiterate, if you have complete faith in the order of your spiritual master and you follow your spiritual master without any deviation throughout the entire life, you see, then you are the greatest learned scholar according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see. So we have this faith, this unflinching faith. Yes, there is a mountain 11 yojanas high. And yes, Krishna Balaram did jump from it. And you know what? That day will come if one has that unflinching faith. That day will come when you can actually see the mountain and you can see this pastime. These are all eternal pastimes. And you can... That day will come when one can see this pastime and it'll be confirmed. You will personally see this pastime. You see? So how does that day come? That is described by Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavedrayam Indriyai Sevan Muke Hijivado Svayam Evaspadat Yadaha. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his blunt, materially contaminated senses. But when one becomes Krishnaized or spiritually saturated by engaging in devotional service, jivado, beginning with the tongue, then the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, teaching, dham, etc., 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 of the unlimited Supreme Personality of God had become revealed to that devotee. So if one will simply engage in devotional service with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if one will simply engage in with full sincerity of attitude in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes revealed. Everything. All the pastimes, all the qualities, all the names, all the teachings, everything becomes revealed. Everyone can be writing down questions, because soon we will open it up for questions. So in this way, we have to know what is this process of Krishna consciousness, as taught by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We cannot concoct our own new method. We are imperfect. We are in a maya. We are in a state of illusion. If we try to concoct our own process of liberation, that process will be concocted from within the conditioned state of consciousness, and therefore that process will keep us in the conditioned state of consciousness. But if one takes this liberation system from a liberated soul, Srila Prabhupada, if one takes the system of liberation as it's coming from a liberated soul, you understand this point? You understand, Madhava, this point? If you take training from a conditioned soul, oh, I get liberated by this conditioned soul. That's not possible. Well, only a liberated can liberate the conditioned soul. A conditioned soul cannot liberate the conditioned soul, because he is also conditioned. So if we will take from Srila Prabhupada the liberated soul, Jivan Mukta, this process of liberation, sadhana bhakti, it is coming from the Prabhupada's predecessors, especially the Sith Goswamis of Vrindavan. They formulated this whole system under the guidance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of how in this present age of Kali, one can become a pure devotee of Krishna. It was taught by Lord Chaitanya to the Sith Goswamis, who then consulted all the Vedic literatures and wrote so many books. Especially we have the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, summarized as the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada, which describes exactly what you can do in order to become liberated from this material existence. You don't become liberated by being a pious person or being a well-respected devotee in ISKCON. That's not enough. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopalabhyate tattalayang api muyame kalam janma koti sukritaire nalabhyate. It's stated by Rupa Goswami. You see. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes. It can only be achieved by one means, greed. Tattalayam. By paying one price, and that is the intense greed to obtain it. And then Rupa Goswami says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So are you greedy for pure bhakti? Or are you just interested in being a well-respected Prabhu or Mataji around ISKCON? You see, that's what we have to analyze in our own hearts. We should be well-respected devotees around ISKCON. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But I'm saying that is not enough. We have to be greedy for pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, you must have that greed. You see, that is the price you have to pay if you want pure bhakti. Come with a handful of greed for pure bhakti, you see, to the bona fide spiritual master. He is the dispenser of pure devotees, of pure devotional service. Prabhupada, previously, was a pharmaceutical businessman. You may know he had Prayag Pharmacy. Prabhupada did not give up being a pharmacist, but he just threw out all the nonsense medicines. Now he has only one medicine, and that is called Premanjana. That is the one medicine. Now it is the ISKCON pharmacy instead of the Prayag pharmacy. You see? And we have one medicine, Premanjana, the ointment of love of God, the salve of love of God. You see? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yam shama shunya ramachyant yagunasva rupam govindamadi purusham damaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Sham Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So, one has to get that salve of love. That is given by Srila Prabhupada and those who are purely representing Srila Prabhupada. They are giving that salve of love. If we take that salve of love and apply it to our eyes, then we will see Krishna in due course. We will see Krishna, Shama Sundara, within and without. So just try to develop this pure bhakti. Take advantage of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Follow your spiritual master very, very sincerely. And that day will come when you will see God. Everything will become totally revealed to you. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Okay, first question. Can you kindly enlighten us on how to develop pure love for the spiritual master, as you have for Srila Prabhupada? Well, the key for, if you obey the spiritual master's orders, you see, so many people say, oh, I love Prabhupada, he's great, you know. But they don't follow his instruction. So that's not love, that's sentiment. You see, if you truly love Srila Prabhupada, you'll obey his instructions strictly. You'll strictly follow. Otherwise, it's just a sentiment. Love means obedience. Sentiment, you may obey, you may not obey. Of course, sentiment is also good. But true love means obedience. You will strictly obey. That is true love, you see. If I love you, I will obey you. That's true love, you see. So, the way to develop love for the spiritual master is to strictly obey his instructions. If there's any difficulty doing that, you consult him. Guru Maharaj, I'm having this difficulty, please help me. You sincerely try your best to serve your spiritual master's orders. If you're having difficulty, you beg help from him or his representatives. Why did Krishna leave the battlefield instead of fighting to kill Jarasandha? That's the trick. The whole pastime of that sleeping king. Jarasandha, I'm thinking of someone else. The Jarasandha pastime was Verbeam. He was left verbeam. Huh? Huh?
He went to Rukmini. Ran away from the battle?
Yeah. But Jarasandha was killed by Bhima in that duel. Yeah. Okay. The verse, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, when can I understand the Lord with senses, but in the end, it's mentioned by the tongue. No, that is misunderstanding. It doesn't say you cannot understand with your senses. It says you cannot understand by your blunt, materially contaminated senses. When your senses become purified, then you can understand. With purified senses. Just like, for example, before I joined this movement, I was a songwriter in California, in Berkeley. And I was pretty proud. And of course I liked the chanting, but I was thinking the devotees weren't very intelligent. So I had a debate with one of the brahmacharis one day on the campus. Not a debate, I just pointed out to him the fault of the Hare Krishna philosophy. I thought I saw a flaw in the philosophy. So I told this devotee, I said, you know, Hare Krishna's, you say that your senses are imperfect, but so how you can say you know that Krishna is God, your senses are imperfect? Actually, he was defeated. He couldn't answer me. He went, it was Chitsukananda Prabhu, my god, who's now my godbrother. But he was like, he was defeated by my argument. He couldn't say anything. But this verse actually defeats my argument. Is it? Because it's a fact, with impure senses you cannot know what is God. That's a fact. But when your senses become purified by devotional service, then with your purified senses, then you can understand. You see? If he had known this verse, he could have defeated my very weak argument, because he didn't know the verse. Devotees weren't well learned in the Shastra in those days. There was no Bhakti Shastri training in them. So he didn't know what to say, but actually this verse completely nullified my argument. I was very proud of defeating him, but later on I was happy to see my argument was defeated by Rupa Goswami. Young devotees find it very difficult to follow the regulated principles. No illicit sex. Oh, come on. It's not difficult. Not at all difficult. It's a matter of proper understanding. I mean, if somebody can't follow this principle, no illicit sex, it means they don't have a proper understanding. I mean, once you see what illicit sex is, you just spit at it, you know? Really. You just spit at it. It's disgusting. It really is. Disgusting. I mean, it's embarrassing enough to have a material body to begin with, okay? This material body is a prison uniform. It shows that we were envious of Krishna. It's the biggest, just to be sitting here in this flesh and blood is a huge embarrassment to begin with, you see. And then to get all excited about another material body, you know, sexually agitated, I mean, that's like becoming a million times more embarrassed. You see what I'm saying? Just consider the female. You ever seen an ostrich, the bird called the ostrich? You see? The funny tail and the scaly legs, you know? Did you get sexually agitated when you saw the ostrich? Oh, look at that female ostrich over there. I'd really like to enjoy with her. Did you ever feel that way? Of course not. But our women are just, you know, it's the same thing either way. I'm saying it from the male side, but it applies to the other side too. Our female women, human women, are no more good-looking than a female ostrich, really. It's a matter of the illusory potency, that's it. You see? When the male ostrich sees that female ostrich, he goes, Julia, Julia, and she's going, Romeo, Romeo, you see? But you have to laugh at the absurdity of it. I mean, you know. And I saw it reconfirmed in Mathura on the Ratha Yatra. There's one bull on the street. He saw a cow, and he got really excited, and his genitals became like about a mile long, I think. And he didn't care. He was in the public. He didn't care for any. It was so embarrassing to see this. Like, oh my God, you just blushed by looking at this bull going crazy, you know, with his genitals a mile long, you know, out on the street going after this cow, and like, you know. It was so embarrassing. You just like blushed to see it, you know. My God. And you think that I was, could I ever, and to think that I should ever be in that state of consciousness is the most embarrassing thing you could ever imagine, you know. Of course, we can use it for producing children. That's saintly. But other than that, it's just like, wow, I mean, how embarrassing that one could stoop to that level. It's just like you want to blush by even thinking about being in that state of consciousness, you know. That's crazy to be carried away by, you know. And also in Vrindavan, you see the monkeys. They have, their rear ends are red. You ever seen it? In Vrindavan, the monkeys, they have their anuses are red. That's because the opposite sex gets all excited by seeing the red anus, you see. That red color incites their passion. So, you know, it's just, you just have to laugh at it. You know, how silly I could ever be to become excited by, you know, sexually excited by a female or a male. I mean, it's the most ridiculous, disgusting thing you could ever imagine. And of course it's reconfirmed by our wonderful Jamunacharya Albandru. It's wonderful shloka given in Bhagavad Gita. He was formerly a king in India in those days. Wow, a king meant big facility for sex enjoyment. You know, you have a harem, and you know, they had big facility for sex enjoyment. All the maidservants, they sometimes get the maidservants pregnant. You know, it's a big facility to be a king in the old days in India. But he became a pure devotee. And he completely changed his whole outlook on life, you see. And he wrote this wonderful prayer, Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde Navanavarasadamam yantarantumasit Tadavadi Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukashushtu Nishtivanamcha. He said, whenever I, ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving nava nava rasa, newer and newer pleasures in that ecstatic bhakti serving mood, you see? If ever the thought of sex pleasure somehow enters into my brain in my past habits, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. I recommend this. Anyone who's having trouble with lust, memorize this. Do yourself a favor and memorize this verse. And every time you get lusty, just sing it, you know. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde Nava nava rasadamu nataranthu masib Tadavadi bhattanari smansman. This way. Do yourself a favor. Tell Mr. Lust to go jump in the ocean. You know, leave me alone, Mr. Lust. I've served you long enough, and I'm not going to serve you anymore, Mr. Lust. Get out of here. I have no business with you whatsoever, forever. Sex desire means I think I'm the body. Lust is nothing more than some chemical reaction in the body, some hormones getting a little stimulated. Are you those hormones? No, you're not those hormones, male hormones or female hormones. One man, he came down with some kind of cancer, I think it was prostate cancer. So to treat him, they killed all of his male hormones. Part of his chemotherapy killed all of his male hormones. He was amazed. Women weren't attractive anymore. He was like a little baby now. He sees a woman, it's like seeing a man. There wasn't any difference. So if you get lusty, it's not you. It's just the hormones. It's some chemicals. That's all it is. It's some chemicals in your body. So are you that body? No. Are you the chemicals? No. So why are you all getting excited, Romeo, Juliet? You see? Shishi Radhagolokananda ki jay. Just become attracted. If you're interested in sex pleasure, that's okay. Find it in the meditating on Radha and Golokananda. You see, they're having eternal sex pleasure. They're not having intercourse, but they're having exchange of love between male and female. So if you're interested in the loving affairs of men and women, then just turn your attention to Radha Golokananda, you see. You can find your sexual satisfaction in their sex pleasure. This is called Adi Ras. The original pleasure is the sex relationship. This is called sexology. The original sex science is the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So just become satisfied. If you're interested in sex, then find your sexual satisfaction by meditating on the wonderful, sweet, loving relationship between Radha and Krishna. Don't you try to be Krishna and look for your Radha, or try to be Radha looking for your Krishna. No. You be the bhakta of Radha and Krishna. And then you'll be completely satisfied. And you can have a married life, you can have Krishna conscious children, that's okay. But Radha and Krishna are the object of your affection, not this sex pleasure. Okay. Bhagavad Gita mentions about the mind, intelligence, and soul. What is the affection of the heart? What is the connection between the mind and the heart? The heart is the resting place of the Lord. What happens to the heart after death? Well, there's heart can mean one of two things. There's the physical heart. The heart, the term heart can refer to the physical thing that pumps the blood. But heart also refers to the consciousness or the mind. So it can be taken different ways. Keep Krishna in your heart means always remember Krishna. Okay, Srila Prabhupada was successful in America, but a few of his followers' disciples were not. Wait. Srila Prabhupada was successful in America, but a few of his followers' disciples were not before he arrived. None of us were successful before Prabhupada arrived. Why a few? We were all complete failures. Even if we were successful materially, like Ambarish, he was successful. He was a member of the Ford family, materially successful by birth. But we were all failures. We were all failures before Prabhupada came. Why was he successful? Why did Krishna help him but not the previous followers? Prabhupada was successful because yatra yageshvara krishna yatra parata dandarudanaha tatrashir vijayo bhutir dirvanitir matirmama. The very final verse of the Bhagavad Gita: wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So wherever those who are truly, purely Krishna conscious, they are always successful. They are opulent, they are successful. Opulence, they are victorious. Opulence, victory, they are extraordinarily powerful and they have the highest moral principles. Those who are actually Krishna conscious, tatrashir vijayo bhutir dravanitir natirmama, you see. They have opulence, they have extraordinary power, they have victory, and they have the highest moral principles. Those who are actually Krishna conscious. So that's why Prabhupada was successful. Because he had Radha and Krishna. He had Krishna and Arjuna. It is said in Christianity that someone who achieves 3 minutes, who achieves three miracles becomes a saint. But Srila Prabhupada accomplished more than three miracles. Was he greater than a saint? Yeah, in Catholicism is this idea, well, you have to have certified miracles, you know, to be a saint. That's a ridiculous thing. They have to show some mystic powers. That's that in Catholicism, someone has to be accredited with having shown some mystic powers in order to be accepted as a saint. But that's not true. You don't become a saint by some mystic powers. You become a saint by developing pure love of God. So Prabhupada is the supreme saint, the topmost saint. Prabhupada once mentioned, if I say I am God, will you believe me? There was no question after that. We would know that Prabhupada is testing us, that no, Prabhupada, you are not God. He's a servant of God. Some disciples foolishly advertised that Prabhupada was God. Prabhupada banned them from the movement. Four sannyasis. Were propagating that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were banned from ISKCON until they were ordered to, each one had to go out and open 10 centers. That was their penance for their offense for saying that Prabhupada was God. They got rectified. They came back. Brahmananda, Gargamuni, Subal, and Vishnujan Swami. They got really off the track. They were advertising that Prabhupada was God back in 1970. You can read about it in the Srila Prabhupada Lamrita. But it was a special mercy because Vishnujan Swami was ordered to open 10 temples. And I was in the second temple. And I, because of Prabhupada's chastisement, I became a devotee. His first temple was Houston, Texas. His second temple was Austin, Texas. So I'm very grateful that Prabhupada gave that order that you must open 10 temples to overcome your offense of having said that I am God. And I remember actually, these sannyasis were not allowed to go to any ISKCON temples except the ones that they started. But Vishnujan Swami, knowing that Prabhupada is unlimitedly merciful, he took a chance and he came to the Rath Yatra in the summer of 1971. And Prabhupada very, very mercifully accepted him. I remember standing there, Prabhupada embraced him at that time in California. Anyway, there was a meeting. After the Rath Yatra, there was a temple president's meeting. And in that meeting, Prabhupada said, so, Vishnujan Maharaj, how many centers? Because he had been told to open 10. And Vishnujan Swami, in the most humble voice, like he was crawling out from under the carpet, you know, he's underneath the carpet, he's sticking his head up from under the carpet, he said, two. And Prabhupada said, you will have to open another 8. So, you don't say that Prabhupada's God. That's Mayavadi philosophy. You don't say that. If the spiritual masters says, what if I tell you that I'm God, but you believe me, and you say yes, then you're a fool and a rascal. Oh yes, Guru Maharaj, I believe anything you say. If you say you're God, I'll accept you're God. No. Guru Maharaj, I know you're testing me, Guru Maharaj. I know you're not God, but you're the pure devotee of God. You're as good as God, but you're not God. Okay, we got one last question here. How can we always stay focused on the instruction of the spiritual master? Prabhupada very wonderfully explains in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that you should worship the order you receive from your spiritual master. You should always meditate on it and worship it, accepting it as your very life and soul. Just imagine, I know of myself, I got a few letters from Prabhupada with so many instructions. And those letters are my dearest treasure in my whole life. My dearest treasure are those instructions that I got from Prabhupada. And of course, all the instructions in the books are personal instructions to each and every one of us. So we should treasure Srila Prabhupada's instructions as the greatest opulence, more valuable than the wealth of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. These books are full of Prabhupada's instructions to us, and we should take them very, very seriously. Always remember Prabhupada's instructions, always meditate on them, and always worship them. So in this way, by meditating on Prabhupada's instructions and the instructions you have received from your spiritual master, in this way you will become a pure devotee of Krishna very quickly, and you will see Krishna face to face. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much for your participation in Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.